Rider fans are still amped up. I noticed still lots of people in the office here decked out in green and white today, and that's going to be the case. Doesn't matter where you go. Grocery store, people just driving, you passing them in their vehicle, they're decked out in their Rider gear. It's parade day today, so the parade steps off this afternoon. Around 2 o'clock is what time you can expect to be in position. On Albert Street between 13th Avenue and 20th is where they would like you to line up, because they will be proceeding southbound on Albert. They're actually leaving the stadium, going down Elphinstone, coming down Victoria Avenue, but they're not looking for people to line up at that part of the parade route. Basically, once they get to Albert, that's where the parade will start. Or you are welcome to go to the ledge, because that culminates in front of the legislature. There'll be some speeches at 3 o'clock. Expect to hear from Corey Mace and Trevor Harris. It will be a great opportunity, of course, to hear one more time from the Grey Cup champions. You won't be able to park at the ledge, though, so find a good parking spot. That's probably going to be strategically a key for you if you want to take in any part of the parade. Well, I couldn't think of someone that I would be more interested in chatting with this morning if we're thinking about, you know, the importance of this Grey Cup win in relation to other Grey Cup wins, in relation to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders story as it's being told. Rob Vanstone is the guy right away that comes to mind. Rob's been on our program many times. He's a longtime, well-admired sports journalist in our province, and now works as the Saskatchewan Rough Rider historian. And I'm happy to say that we have Rob Vanstone, probably a little tired and weary this morning, but joining us by phone. Rob, how are you today?
Yeah. I the way I feel today, I think I covered the 1923 Grey Cup versus Queens. So listeners beware, this might be a bit of a slog.
No,
not because of the host, I guarantee you.
Well, Rob, no snoring during the interview, no matter how tired you are. But I mean, you got to be running on adrenaline, because I can't imagine what it's like in the Rider office, the atmosphere, especially now that the team's back from the game.
It's funny, you know, I got into the office after our plane landed on Monday, and there was everything at the stadium, and the office itself seemed like a ghost town. I mean, it's just people. There were people, you know, Karina Peterson, Rebecca Perrini, Josh Shaw, who partook in the victory celebration and then drove home all night so they could do their job the next day. Like, just amazing. I am tired. I can't imagine how tired other people are. I sat in front of a keyboard and moved my fingers a bit. The jobs that so many people did. Jessica Galowski. I can start with Craig Reynolds and just go right down the list.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joshua Adoku. Like, just millions of people who put so much work into it. Ariel Zur is absolutely a marvel.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm tired, but there are people who are much more crucial to the organization who just did extraordinary things, and I'm still not trying to get a command of what everybody's done, because I think everybody in the organization has a really cool story to tell right now.
I watched some of the tape from the welcome home at Mosaic Stadium yesterday. I think the players are still riding the wave. They probably are. They're going to crash midweek this week, but right now it's still all about the celebration. Can we talk, Rob, as the Rider historian? Of course, this is our fifth Grey Cup victory. Can you talk about how you see this victory will be viewed in the years to come, in contrast with the others?
I think you can liken it to 2007 in one respect. I realize you asked for a contrast, but I think in terms of impact, remember, you know, when Ken Austin was here in 2007, and I think there was always a bit of the what might have been, what if Ken Austin had stayed? And because he just had such an amazing effect on that team so quickly. And I look at what Corey Mace did last year. Look what Corey Mace did this year. And Corey Mace is going to be here for ideally a long time. And you just wonder what could happen with Jeremy O'Day, Corey Mace, Kyle Carson, Paul Jones, Larry Dean in charge of football operations. The depth that this team has. So I realize that's not a contrast, but I think that's the kind of opportunity that lies ahead for the Rough Riders. I think this Grey Cup is distinctive in two ways, Evan. One, it's the first victory by a Rough Rider team that's in New Mosaic Stadium. And, you know, that the celebration outside the stadium yesterday was almost it was kind of a landmark moment for that edifice. And so I think that's important. This is the first time that the Rough Riders have won a Grey Cup, being first overall in the Canadian Football League. They'd never won it from the, to borrow an auto racing analogy, the pole position. Or is that horse racing? I'd sleep deprived.
Yes, I know.
And I think that's really kind of interesting. And the team was first in the West in 1966, but Ottawa had the best record in the league. Riders won it as a third-place team in 89, very, very strong second-place team in 2007 and 2013. So it's a bit of a unique year in that this team just started off so well, as did the 2007 team. And there were very few detours along the way. So I think that really established, the Riders just established really early in the year that they were going to be a factor. And I think that sets it apart from many other teams as well.
Tell me, Rob, from your vantage point, we obviously have followed the team closely. We saw the ups and downs through the season, but ultimately we saw a team that finished first in the league, like you just said. But off the field, you have a bit of a bird's eye view, and you're involved and you're around the players, you're around the coaching staff. What did you feel was different? Not what you observed. What do you feel was different this year?
I think everybody came in and really meant business. You know, I'm being old and an historian, but every team that's won a Grey Cup in Ryder history has had a really, really tough one to absorb the previous year. And, you know, whether it's there's always been something that's not at the Riders, coming into a year that ultimately culminated with a Grey Cup victory. Well, this year the Grey Cup's in Winnipeg, and the Rough Rider season ended in Winnipeg last year. And so I think that whole scenario, I didn't hear anybody say it, but that just had to almost contribute, I think, in a way to how this year evolved. It's like, not only finish the job this time around, but do it in the same stadium where the team was really disappointed a year ago. I was pretty much embedded with this team right from the start of rookie camp, and there wasn't one thing that I could look at, and I would say the same thing to you if I weren't a team employee but had the same access. There wasn't one thing that made me go, there was not one interaction. There wasn't one thing I saw.
Right.
And when you look at the length of a season and, you know, all the practices and just every interaction, that to me was really interesting. Even for the best of teams, there's often a something that happens, but the culture that's just being established, so many teams talk about it in so many sports, but it's not just words. I think the actions underlined everything that was said.
It was interesting, of course, during open lines yesterday, just reliving memories, many people pointing out that Montreal was the team we faced in the Grey Cup when we experienced agony, and they drew comparisons to the year of the 13th man and some of the experiences we had with Montreal. Do you think do you get the sense that the monkey is off the back permanently now as a result of that victory on Sunday?
I think as well, you know, the disappointment of the 1931 loss to the Montreal Winged Wheelers has now been neutralized.
you're one of a very few people that'll probably talk about that. Only a historian would bring up that game.
I just wanted to say Montreal Winged Wheelers. And Wally Witty played for the Montreal Winged Wheelers. There's so much great alliteration there. It's called a touchdown pass in that game too. I know there were lots of, you know, replays and flashbacks of 2009, 2010. I saw and read about some of them. That really wasn't part of my mindset. You know, I think this group is so detached from you know, anything that happened back then. Craig Reynolds had just started with the organization in 2009. But, you know, I just got the feeling that business to be conducted within the division, and you know, with some of the traditional rivals, and even going to Winnipeg in September and winning that game in a game that was quite reminiscent in some ways of the Grey Cup. You know, Marcus Sales got an interception in the Labor Day rematch, got a pick and made two other crucial plays. You know, Tavon Campbell had a couple of interceptions in the Labor Day rematch. Same, you know, another impactful game. I just looked at things like that and that kind of hurdle being cleared, winning in Winnipeg, and kind of setting the tone for a subsequent victory in that same stadium. I didn't get the feeling that anything nostalgic or anything of that nature was really a factor. And I'm usually the first person to bring things like that up because I remember the Montreal Winged Wheelers.
I want to ask quickly before we wrap up our chat. We're chatting today with Rob Vanstone, Saskatchewan Rough Rider historian, longtime sports journalist in our province. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to ask you the question. If you look at some of the great CFL dynasties, recently the Bombers have been a force up until recent year. The Eskimos in the day, the BC Lions, some of those dynasties. Are there makings of that on this team?
Well, it starts at the top, and it starts in a lot of ways with continuity. And that was one of the things that this team really espoused. They wanted to bring back as many key pieces of that team from last year as they could. The team that kind of set the tone for everything that unfolded this year. And even in this age of free agency and one-year contracts, everybody who was an all-star last year was back. And that's really tough to do, because a lot of times you can parlay an all-star season into a nice raise via free agency, and it's tough within a salary cap league to keep everybody. But that was done. And I think the readiness with which people returned to the organization indicated that they knew something was brewing here. It's tougher in free agency than it once was. There wasn't free agency when Edmonton won five in a row starting in 1978. You really get that feeling. And just because of the strength at the top, Craig Reynolds, Jeremy O'Day, Corey Mace, and just going right down the list. And I think as long as this management is in place, there's no reason for the team not to experience the type of success. You're not going to win the Grey Cup every year, but this is going to be a strong franchise as long as those people are here.
For sure. Well, Rob, just as we're wrapping up, our friend Conspiracy Kevin, who likes to text into the show, is reminiscing on the text line that he was given a free ticket to the 95 Grey Cup game, minus 35 wind chill, and he sat on the stairs that go up the field from the stands on the north side most of the second half with Rob Vanstone.
That was so cold. My Greg Drennan, the sports editor, gave me the assignment of roaming the stands that day, and I thought it'd be really a cool story to go to the top and just write about what it was like up there. It was so cold that the ink in my ballpoint pen froze inside the pen, and I had to engrave my notes in the notepad, like, you know, Fred Flintstone used to write with the chisel and the hammer. Well, I had to engrave my notes in the notepad, and then when I got back to the office, I was holding the notepad up to the light, kind of in the sideways, to see if I could see what I'd written.
Shading over it with a pencil to try and make out what you wrote.
That was so cold, Evan. I've never been colder at a sporting event than that. I have a lot of vivid memories of that day and that game, and the frostbite is almost gone.
Well, I appreciate Kevin shooting us a text. And Rob, always appreciate you joining the program. Thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy that parade and then get some sleep, okay?
That will be very, very nice. Thank you for the kind words and for the kind invitation, but I really appreciate it.
Rob Vanstone, rider, historian, and again, parade kickoff today, 2 o'clock, Albert Street from 13th Avenue down to the ledge. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.